So the readings from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. So I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am a prisoner for you who are not Jews. Surely you know that God gave me this work to tell you about his grace. God let me know his secret plan. He showed it to me. I have already written a little about this. And if you read what I wrote, then you can see that I truly understand the secret truth about the Christ. People who lived in other times were not told that secret truth. But now, through the Spirit, God has shown that secret truth to his holy apostles and prophets. This is that secret truth, that the non-Jews will receive what God has for his people, just as the Jews will. The non-Jews are together with the Jews as part of the same body, and they share together in the promise that God made in Christ Jesus. The non-Jews have all of this because of the good news. By God's special gift of grace, I became a servant to tell that good news. God gave me that grace through his power. I am the least important of all God's people, but God gave me this gift to tell the non-Jewish people the good news about the riches of Christ. Those riches are too great to understand fully. And God gave me the work of telling all people about the plan for God's secret truth. That secret truth has been hidden in God since the beginning of time. God is the one who created everything. His purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in the heavenly world will now know God's wisdom, which has so many forms. This agrees with the purpose God had since the beginning of time. And God carried out his plan through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ we can come before God with freedom and without fear. We can do this through faith in Christ. So I ask you not to become discouraged because of the sufferings I am having for you. My sufferings bring honor to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, boys and girls and grown-ups, I don't know if you like secrets. Now, some secrets are bad secrets. We don't like those. But do you want to know a good secret? A really, really good secret. A secret that is right at the heart of God's plan for the whole universe. A secret that the Apostle Paul, in the reading we just had, said was worth going to prison for. A secret that he says makes the devil tremble. A secret that transforms people's lives. Are you ready for this? Okay, I built this up quite high, haven't I? The secret, right at the heart of the universe, is that you don't have to be Jewish to be part of the church. You look so unimpressed. But that's what Paul said. It was a pretty big build-up, wasn't it? And then he says, verse 6, this is that secret truth. Some translations say mystery. Some might have surprise. This is the secret truth at the heart of the universe, that the non-Jews will receive what God has for his people, just as Jewish people will. And we think that's a rubbish secret, don't we? It just sounds like such an anticlimax. We think to ourselves, well, you know, no disrespect to my Jewish friends, but we just want to take people as we find them, don't we? It doesn't matter whether someone's Jewish or not. And why is it such a big deal about whether someone is part of the church or not? And why couldn't someone be part of the church before? And Paul says, right at the heart of the universe, the secret we really need to know this morning is that you don't have to be Jewish to be part of the church. You just need to trust in Jesus. And so we ask, well, why couldn't I be part of the church before? What's changed? Why don't I need to be Jewish anymore? And the answer, to help us think about it, comes in this classic card game, Happy Families. Everyone played this before? Yeah, Freya, Jolie, you guys fans of this? Happy Families? Do you remember this? So you got Master Bacon, the butcher's son, Miss Stamp, the postman's daughter, Master Chalk, the teacher's son. And we'd put people together into families. And it really matters which family you're in. You can't put the postman's daughter in the same family as the butcher's son. It doesn't work. You've got to be part of the right family. And there are a number of families in the history of the world whose place in human history is so significant. It's as if they've got their own happy family's card. And if you're in that family, well, then things are wonderful. And if you're not, they're pretty serious. So I need some folk who are feeling strong, someone who could hold up a big sign for me. Can I have a volunteer who might like to come and hold something up for me? Who's... Otherwise, I'm gonna pick on someone. Oh, Fred, Jolene, you and Fred are going to hold them up for me? Okay. Jolene and Fred, would you like to hold this together? If you are of a sensitive disposition and you like art, prepare to be dazzled. I'm just going to warn you to brace yourselves. This is beautiful. Thanks, Jolene. You're going to hold that. Fred and Jolene, are you guys going to hold this up nice and high for me? So here is the Happy Families card for Mr. Abraham, the friend of God. Can you see that? Can you see that over there? See, if you were in Abraham's family, Seb, you're going to come and help us hold it as well? Good man. Thank you very much, Jolie Britt. We've got some more to hold up as well. Good man. Thanks, Seb. See, God made massive promises to Abraham. Even though he didn't have any kids at the time he promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, that there were going to be a whole nation of people descended from him through his son Isaac, through his son Jacob, who would live under God's blessing, under his rule, that they'd know eternal life and friendship and protection from him. So if you loved God and you were part of Mr. Abraham's family, well, then that is wonderful. And that is what it means to be Jewish, to be descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if like most of us, you weren't descended from Abraham, you're in quite a lot of trouble. So would someone like to come and hold this up for me? So we've got here, Mr. Gentile. The far off one. Mr. Gentile, the far off one. Thank you very much, mate. Are you going to come up and hold it for me? Oh, guys, thank you. Yeah, you both come up. Hold it up nice and high. That'd be brilliant. Thank you. You can hold that up really high. Good job. So if you were a Gentile, that means you're not Jewish. If you're in this family, well, then it's very, very bad news indeed. We read that last week, that if you weren't Jewish, you're a non-Jew, in the past, you were without Christ, you weren't citizens of Israel, and you had no part in the agreements with the promise that God had made to his people. So if you're not Jewish, you had almost no hope of being friends with God. It was possible to become Jewish. If I can put this sensitively, gentlemen, it involved a kind of delicate operation. And it required us to be involved in the temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. It was very hard to become Jewish. There was almost no hope of becoming God's friend, of being part of God's family. So that's why Mr. Gentile here and his family look pretty sad. But Paul says that now everything has changed. Everything has changed. The other thing we need to know, by the way, about Mr. Abraham. So guys, do you want to shuffle over this way a bit? Seven Fred, do you want to stand over here? So we can see the thing about Mr. Abraham's family and Mr. Gentile's family is they hated each other. It wasn't just that Mr. Gentile was cut off from God, he was cut off from Mr. Abraham's family. But there's another Happy Families card here. Would someone like to come and hold this one up for me? Someone like to come and hold this up for me? James Ben? James, do you want to hold it? Okay, so James is going to come up and hold it. What we've got here is a third Happy Families card. And this is a card for the family of King Jesus. God's special chosen one, who is the peacemaker. Thanks, Ben. You're going to hold that up nice and high for us. Good job. Well done. And if you've got your Bibles open and you want to look at verse 6, or if you're a reader, you might like to listen to this again. This is the secret truth, that the non-Jews will receive what God has for his people just as the Jews will. The non-Jews are together with the Jews as part of the same body, and they share together in the same promise of good news through Jesus. Now, the wonderful good news about that is it means that now anybody can be part of God's family. Anybody. It doesn't matter where you come from, whether you come from Audley or Austria or Australia, whether you come from Iceland or Israel, wherever you're from in the world, you can now be part of God's family. So, guys, should we turn this around and see what happens to Mr. Gentile? Wonderfully, Mr. Gentile can now be part of God's family through King Jesus. Whether you're Jewish or Gentile, you can be part of God's family. And all those barriers get broken down. The New Testament spells out for us, it's not just whether you're Jewish or Gentile, it's suddenly whether you're male or female. Doesn't make any difference to your spiritual standing before God. Your age makes no difference. So whether you were baptized today or whether you were baptized 80 years ago, your class makes no difference. Your job makes no difference. Anybody can be part of God's family through trusting in Jesus. Other way around, boys. Well done. There we go. Anybody can be part of God's family through trusting in Jesus. We're going to think more about that in a minute. But first, we're going to sing of what a wonderful thing it is that anybody can be part of God's amazing plan.
Our God is a great big God. Our God.
Well sung. Well, excellent actions all around, I think. Well done. We've seen that it is an amazing thing that anybody can be part of God's amazing plan. That is the great secret at the heart of the universe. Anybody, you don't have to be Jewish anymore. You don't have to be descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anyone can be part of God's amazing family. And that is really important. Because what we've read in these verses this morning is that nothing on earth matters as much in God's eyes as the church does. Nothing on earth matters as much as the church does. That's what it says in that verse that's printed on the sheet. God's purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in the heavenly world will now know God's wisdom. So if you were God, I know it's a kind of ridiculous thing to think, but if you were God, how would you show how wonderful you were, how brilliant you were, how clever you were? If it was me, I might point at an elephant or a giraffe. Or the Andromeda Galaxy and say, oh, I made that. But God points at the church, which is a strange thing to do, isn't it? I mean, if someone's not part of the church, they normally think the church is a bit of a joke. Even if someone is part of a church, we see all the kind of faults and flaws and we think of all the things we should be doing that we're not. Of course, the church doesn't just mean a building. The old nursery rhyme is wrong. So, do you remember, here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up, here's the people. Remember that? Okay, that is theologically not true. So here's the wonderful old building that we have to keep the roof the rain off our heads. Here's the pointy religious bit that we stick on top. Open it up, and here's the church. The church is everyone who trusts in Jesus. And because anybody can be part of God's church, God's family, God's people, that is where God shows how wonderful he is. So I need some people who are good at dressing up. If you want to come up to the front and help me out here. I've got a few different things we might like to put on. So when we think about who was in the church at Ephesus, so Seb, do you want to come on up? Thank you very much, mate. So in the church at Ephesus, there were probably people who were law enforcement. So we've got a policeman's hat. Seb, do you want to put that on? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who's good at dressing up? Anyone else who's good at dressing up? Is it Henry? Arnold, sorry, Arnold. Oh, Arnold, sorry, you have grown up a lot since the wedding, haven't you? Right. Okay, let's... do you want to put this one on? No, do you want... Okay, do you want to be... do you want to be a builder? Or a miner? You want to be a builder? Why don't we have a builder? We've got a hard hat. There we go. Got a builder. Someone want to be a prisoner? Someone want to be a bandit? Brian Dodd, you're a total bandit. Do you want to come and put this on for us? Thank you very much. Who else? We need who could be who would make a good trendy cool teenager? Tim Babb, do you want to come up and be a trendy cool teenager? Brian, do you want to put that on? There we go. Thank you very much. Cheers. So now the wonderful. There we go. Excellent. So what we get in the church is a rain. Did you want to? Do you want to put a crown on? It's going to mess up your hair a bit, isn't it? But there we go. There we go. We've already messed it up with some water this morning. There we go. The wonderful thing about being part of a church family is what you get is a group of people who in any other area of life would never have anything to do with each other. So we have people who are young and cool and trendy like Tim, and people who are less cool and young and trendy. You have people who are in positions of authority. Like Freya here, you have people from all kinds of different trades. I've got some friends in a church that I've been part of over the years, where the equivalent to the church wardens, one is a copper, He's a policeman. He's a proper copper. He was back from the generation when policemen really were policemen. He was 6'2" and could do the whole hello, 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 what's going on here thing. The other church warden spent time in prison, having done some pretty nasty crimes, and became a Christian there. And suddenly what you get in church is a group of people who have nothing in common. The Jewish and Gentile people in Paul's day hated one another. In our day, the divides might be across class, they might be across gender. It might be that there are people who vote UKIP and people who vote Green. The people who have nothing in common, brought together. Because what Jesus has done at the cross is wonderful. He has reconciled people to God. That is breathtaking. When you think of the kind of things we've done, we've confessed in our confession earlier, when we think of the holiness of what God is like, the fact that people like us can be friends with God is breathtaking. But we can't see it. We can't see our relationship with God. But what God has done is not just reconcile us to God, he's reconciled us to one another. So the great privilege of being part of a church family is to live out the love that has been now been put in place between people who've got nothing in common. I want to say as a minister, it is a great joy that I get to see that. We're a work in progress. God is still building his people. But as we see his work plan in progress, we get to see people who've got nothing in common loving one another. That is breathtaking and a wonderful proof of the wisdom and power of God's love. It's why it's such a big deal that Stuart and Sue Ann promised today that by their example, they would lead Jolie into Christian fellowship. So that the tragedy of people thinking that you can be a Christian without being part of a church. This is the glory, the joy of what God is doing, that we have the privilege of being part of his people, not just reconciled with Jesus, with God as our Father, with Jesus as our older brother, but with one another as brothers and sisters. Thank you very much to those who've dressed up. Can we give those who've dressed up a round of applause? Guys, do you want to put those back? Seb, that you make an excellent policeman. Right? Do you want to put that back in there? Thank you very much. Guys, I'm going to hand back to Cherie again in just a moment, but shall we pray first? Let's pray first. God's purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in the heavenly world will now know God's wisdom, which has so many forms. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wisdom in not just making us right with you, but making us right with one another and giving us each other to love with all the challenges and all the difficulties of getting along together as a church family. We pray you'd help us to be patient and kind and loving with each other, and that we would live out this glorious vision that you have for your people, people who have nothing in common except the love of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that in his name. Amen.